Well, good evening. If you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Begin our reading in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverend is your matchless name. And Father, we bow in your presence this evening. We bow with hearts that are thankful that we can come before your throne accepted in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts bow in worship and submission to thy sovereign will. And we bow, Father, begging a blessing from the storehouses of your grace this evening. Father, I pray you'd bless your word, that you would enable your word to go forth in power. Our society is restricted at this time from being able to meet together and to worship thee, but Father, you're not bound. Your word's not bound. Your power's not bound. Father, I pray you'd bless your word to your glory. Get much glory to your name through the preaching of your word this evening. And Father, cause your word to go forth and to bless the hearts of your people, to pierce the heart, to give life and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Cause your word to go forth and comfort and encourage the hearts of your people to continue trusting thee and relying upon thee. Father, we pray for our world, we pray for our country at this difficult time, that you would put your hand upon us, that you would heal this plague that's in the land, that you would reach down and preserve and protect your people for your great name's sake, Father. Heal this and enable us to be able to come together soon as it could possibly be thy will, to meet together in worship, to be able to lift up our voices together and in praise and in song and thanksgiving, and to face to face hear your gospel and worship you. We pray a special blessing, Father, for those who are hurting, who are sick, and been afflicted with so many different illnesses and difficulties at this time. We pray a special blessing for our sister Joyce Brown, that you'd comfort her at this time of loss and sorrow. Be with her especially, Father, we pray. You know the needs of your people. We hold them up to thee, and we're thankful to know you're in control. This thing's not gone off the rails. It's not something that happened that you couldn't stop, but it's according to your direct will and purpose. We're thankful that thou art sovereign and you are able. You're able to comfort the hearts of your people. All these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now if you would, turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 119. I've titled the message this evening, Christ from A to Z, Part 2, Our Help. This particular stanza speaks of Christ, our help. Now you remember that Psalm 119 is a poem. It has 1 8-verse stanza for each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the theme of this song is the Word of God. The theme of this song tells us both of the importance, the riches, the life that's found in the written word and in the incarnate word, our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you last week we began this study in Psalm 119, part 1, that it was not my intention to preach verse by verse through this whole psalm. My goal is to give you the main point in each one of these stanzas to show you how Christ is all in salvation. From A to Z, Christ is all. But I'm not going to make it any further than this stanza this evening. We'll pretty much go through this stanza verse by verse tonight. This is the fifth stanza in the song that tells us that our help is found in the Word of God. You'll find help both in the written Word and in Christ the incarnate Word. Now, as I understand it, the Hebrew letter for this stanza is what they call a causative letter. They would put this letter in front of a verb to make it causative. And that's what we need. We need the Lord to do all of the action in saving us. We need to do the Lord to do all of the action in helping us, because you and I are helpless and we can't help ourselves. So we need the Lord to do it all for us, to do all the work in saving us and helping us. And this is what the psalmist says in this stanza. He says, Lord, cause me to be taught. Give me an understanding. Cause me to understand. Make me go in your path. You know, don't just show me your path, but make me to go in it. Cause my heart to incline unto you. Turn my eyes from vanity and turn my eyes to you. And establish me. Lord, you have to establish me in your word. Lord, cause this to happen. You have to cause this to happen. You have to make this true in me, because I have no power to do it for myself. So this whole stanza is a plea for help from the Lord. And it begins in verse 33 of Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now, as I said, this stanza is a plea for help. And right now, we all acutely feel the need for help with what's going on in our world today. We all feel helpless against this virus. We acutely feel the need for help, don't we? But you know this is so. Let me remind you, even though you know it's so, we are no more helpless now than we were 2 months ago before this whole thing started. When none of this was threatening us and threatening our world, the economy was all good, everything was all going good, we were just as helpless then as we are now. We're completely dependent upon God at all times. Physically, we need the Lord to provide for us and protect us. Today, just as much as we did 2 months ago before all this started, we still are dependent on the Lord to provide and to protect. But even in this time of this great worldly trouble, our greatest need is unchanged. We feel that, you know, a fear and a need for help from the physical world surrounding us, but our greatest need is still the same. Our greatest need is still a spiritual need. And we need God's help. We need God to do this for us. We're helpless, so we need God's grace, and we need God's forgiveness now just as much as we ever have. We need God to give us spiritual life and to sustain that life just as much now as we ever have. We need God to be merciful to our unrighteousness just as much as we ever have. And this psalm teaches us, if you'll read it carefully and see what it's saying, this psalm teaches us our dependence upon the Lord. The oldest believer who is strongest in faith, if this is David that wrote this, King David, in his strength, still cries to God as a little child, saying how dependent we are upon the Lord. Every believer is. We're completely dependent upon the Lord. The songwriter said, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. We're helpless, aren't we? We need God to do everything for us. So this is a cry for help. And all of the believer's help is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in the incarnate Word, Christ, and is found in God's written Word, the Bible. Now the key verse, as I see it in this stanza, is verse 38, where the psalmist says, establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Lord, establish your word to me. If you look in the book of 2 Corinthians, this establishing is the work of God. It's not something that we do and we help God out. No, this is, remember, a causative thing. This is the work of God for us. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this establishing is the work of God. It's the work of the whole Godhead. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. God's the one who establishes us with you, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This establishing is the work of the whole Godhead. Now remember, this, the Hebrew letter for this stanza is a causative letter. Establishing us is something that God must do for us, that God must do in us. And the Lord establishes his people through his word and by his word. And the psalmist here gives us four ways that the Lord establishes his people by his word, with his word. Number one is this: Lord, establish the word, your word, in our eyes. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Now, if we would be established in the truth, if we would be established in the gospel and established in the word of God, somebody's got to hold the word of God up before our eyes, don't they? And that's the work of God. It's the work of God to send a preacher. How shall they preach except they be sent? A preacher must hold up the word of God before our eyes. But if we would be established in the truth, if the word would be established in us, Almighty God must give us eyes. Eyes to see Christ in the word. This whole Bible, every word of it, every page of it, the whole Bible is written to reveal Christ to sinners. The whole Bible is written for this one purpose, to show us how God saves sinners, in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we can't see that by nature, can we? God's got to give us eyes to see Christ. And if God will give us eyes of faith, and so that we see Christ, we will be established. We'll be established so that we cannot be moved. The psalmist says here, Lord, if you give this to me, you establish this to me, I'll keep it unto the end. Now here's what he means. I know that we'll keep it to the end till we die, but that's not primarily what he means. He means that, Lord, if you give me eyes to see Christ, I'll keep the end or the goal of your word. I'll believe Christ, and I'll keep believing him until the end. If God establishes his word before our eyes, we'll see Christ and we'll believe him. And we'll keep believing him to the end. That's being established in the word, having the word established before our eyes. That's the goal of God's word. The goal of God's word is to not to show me how to act, not to tell me what to do and what not to do. You already know that. You already know what to do and not to do. You already know not to lie, not to steal, not to cheat. You already know not to cheat on your spouse, but be faithful to them. You already know that. You already know not to kill your neighbor. You know that. The goal of God's word is not to tell us how to act. God's put that in our heart. The goal of God's word is to show me Christ, so that I will believe Christ, that I will believe on Christ alone, without how I act being added to it. You know, a lot of people want to say, well, yeah, I want to be saved by God's grace. I want to be saved by Christ, but I want to have how I act be added to it. How I act be my sanctification and add to it. Brother, how I act cannot contribute to my salvation. How I act is what's given me the need for a Savior in the first place. How I act is what's given me this need to cry out to God for help in the first place. No, our works have got nothing to do with it. The goal of God's word is to show me Christ. So I'll trust him alone and not trust myself in any part of this equation, in this matter of salvation. If God gives me eyes to see Christ, I'll keep this to the end. I'll believe him to the end, and I won't turn from Christ. If you see Christ, if God Almighty gives you eyes to see Christ, you will not turn away from him to trust in anything else. That's what the psalmist says in verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Now, vanity, the word, it means empty and useless. That is our flesh, isn't it? That's the works of our flesh. They're nothing but vanity. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Man at his best state is altogether zero, useless, nothing. So there can't be anything more empty, more useless than trusting the works of this flesh. And people who have been taught, they've been established in the Word of God, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has been established in their eyes. They're not going to turn away from Christ. Look at Romans chapter 1. See, God does this. He establishes the Word before the eyes of His people through the preaching of the Word. Now, that's why what we're doing right now is so important, that we be established in times where the world around us is in utter chaos and there's nothing at all you can put your hand on that's solid in this world. This is why the preaching of God's Word is so important, because God establishes His people through the preaching of His Word. Let me show you that in Romans 1, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." Now, how is Paul going to give them the spiritual gift so that they'll be established? It's through the preaching of the gospel. Look at verse 15. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith that's given through the preaching of the gospel, of the preaching of the word, and that they'll be, God's people will be established through the preaching of the word. That's why Paul wanted to come to them, to preach to them, so they'd be established. Now look at the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Now, how will that happen? How will we be rooted and built up in Christ? How will we be established in faith in Christ? How will that happen? It's by having the Word of God taught to us. Read on, verse 7. As you have been taught. See, you're going to be rooted up and built, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If God gives us eyes to see Christ, we'll be established. And we're not going to turn from Christ to the vanity of works religion. Read on verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Don't turn from Christ to the man's vain deceit and philosophy, the traditions of men. Don't turn from Christ, for in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in Him. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if God gives you eyes to see Christ, you're not going to turn from Him. You're going to turn from Christ, because God's established you, taught you this, that from A to Z, Christ is everything that you need. And we'll only know that we are complete in Christ, complete, lacking nothing in Christ, if God establishes the Word before our eyes, His Word before our eyes. All right, second, look back in our text, Psalm 119. Second, Lord, establish Your Word in our mind. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now, it is not enough just to know what the Word says. It's important that we're taught, that we hear what the Word says, but it's not enough just to know what the Word says. You know, here we give our children memory verses. We do that so the Word of God will be in their mind, so they'll remember it when they get to be old. We want them to know what the Bible says. But salvation goes a whole lot further than memorizing verses of Scripture. See, God must give us an understanding. to know what the Scriptures mean. It's not enough just to be able to quote the Scriptures. Salvation is understanding what the Scriptures mean. What do those Scriptures mean? Every single one of them means Christ. Every single one of them means trust Christ to be your all. Now, if you look in the book of John, chapter 5, I'll show you that. John, chapter 5. Verse 39. Our Lord here talking to these religious leaders of that day, and he says, John 5:39, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now these men the Lord is talking to here, they are steeped in the written word. They're steeped in the law, the traditions. They're steeped in those things. It's their whole life. And the Lord tells them, you do search the Scriptures. You spend your time reading them and transcribing them and writing them. And yet you do search the Scriptures. And you think that memorizing those Scriptures, that reading those words, that trying to obey the laws that are laid out to you in the Old Testament, you think those things are salvation, and they're not. He tells them, this is your problem. In searching the Scriptures, you don't have an understanding. God hadn't given you an understanding to know that all of the Scriptures testify of Christ. They all tell of Him. The Scriptures tell us that righteousness is in Christ's obedience to the law, not ours. The law is not, it was only given to show us our helplessness, our inability to keep the law. The Scriptures, all of the Scriptures tell us that righteousness is in Christ's obedience, not ours. The Scriptures tell us that righteousness is in the blood of Christ's sacrifice that put away our sins, not all of our religious doings and ceremonies and traditions. The Scriptures tells us that eternal life is had through faith in Christ, not by our works of the law. And the Pharisees had no understanding of that because God hadn't given it to them. Look what he says here in verse 38. You have not his word abiding in you. It's not been established in you. And here's how I know that's true. For whom he has sent, whom the Father has sent, him you believe not. If the word was established in your heart, if it was established in your before your eyes, you would understand who this man is, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the long-promised Messiah come to save his people from their sins. So to understand God's word is to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. That's understanding. Now look at Luke chapter 24, back a few pages, Luke 24. You know, if we would have an understanding of God's word, God's got to give it to us. He's got to, we cry for help. Lord, help me understand. Well, if we would understand God's word, God must cause that to happen. He must give us an understanding. And in Luke chapter 24, we see a very good example of that, beginning in verse 44. This is after our Lord, he spent 3.5 years, his public ministry, his disciples following him, being with him that whole time, hearing every word that he taught. They watched the Lord be crucified, suffer and die. Now he's risen again and appeared to them, and this is what he tells them, verse 44. Luke 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the word, the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All those things, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, they're all concerning me. They're all telling about me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. The Lord opened their understanding they might understand the Scriptures. Now they understood. Now they finally understood. They understood the sacrifice of Christ. Bought the redemption of his people, washed away the sins of his people. Now they understood the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's how God saves sinners. That's that we're in him. That when he obeyed the law, we did too because we're in him. That when Christ died to the law, we did too because we're in him. When Christ was raised, so were we because we're in him. Now they understood. Now they finally understood that Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom with earthly prizes and earthly trinkets that he'd give out to his people. God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is a spiritual kingdom where he blesses his people with every spiritual blessing that Almighty God has for a sinner. Where? In Christ. It's all in him. Now they understand because Christ has given them an understanding, and now they won't leave. They won't leave him. They won't leave his gospel because God has established this in their understanding that Christ is all. And if you look back in our text, Psalm 119, verse 38, that's what the psalmist is asking for. In verse 38, he says, "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear." Lord, establish your word to my understanding so I will be devoted to you. So I'll be devoted to the worship and reverence of God and never leave Christ. Lord, establish your word to my understanding, and I'll never look for another hope other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If God will give me the understanding that Christ is all. But that establishing will only happen through the consistent preaching of Christ. Because that's what God the Holy Spirit uses to give his people an understanding. It's the preaching of the word. All right, thirdly, Lord, establish your word in our feet. Verse 35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Now, by nature, we are lame. By nature, you and I cannot come to Christ. Look at the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. We cannot come to Christ. So we need the Lord to give us feet and make us come to Christ. John chapter 6, verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." Now you've heard this, but there are some of you that believe not. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." No man can come to Christ unless the Father gives him the ability. No man can come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit gives us feet to come to Christ. The Lord's got to make us come to Christ. Then, Lord, I'm begging you, give me feet and make me come to Christ. See, no man can come to Christ by his own will or his own power because we're spiritually lame. Now, you know why we're spiritually lame? It's because we're spiritually dead. I mean, it's not like we're alive, but our legs don't work. Maybe we could drag ourselves to Christ, you know, by crawling on our hands or something. No, we're lame and unable to come to Christ because we're spiritually dead. So we can't do anything. Look in there in John 6, back of page, verse 44. This is what the Lord says. No man can come unto me. We don't have the ability nor the desire to come to Christ. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come unto Christ unless God gives him life and then draws him to Christ. So Lord, I'm begging you, Lord, draw me. Draw me to Christ. When we're crying for help, what we're crying is, Lord, do it all and draw me to Christ. Bring me to Christ. And here's how the Lord draws his people to Christ. It's through the preaching of Christ crucified. Our Lord said, when he is lifted up, all. I know in the translators in that have added men, it's in italics. All will come to him. It's all that the Father hath given him. All of God's elect, when they hear Christ lifted up, the preaching of Christ crucified, him lifted up upon the tree, they'll come to Christ. All, he said, will come unto me. All of God's people come to him. They cannot stay away from him. When they hear the word of God preached, how Christ is the Savior of sinners. See, I don't just want feet that make me mobile and, you know, let me go anywhere that I desire by nature. I want the Lord to give me feet and then make me follow Christ. Lord, give me feet and then lead me and guide me in the way that I should go, like a shepherd leads the sheep. The Lord leads his people and he guides his people. If you want the Lord to lead you and guide you, I'll tell you how he does it. He does it through the preaching of his word. Look back at Matthew chapter 7. Lord, give me feet and then cause me to walk. Make me to walk in that straight and narrow way, because the straight and narrow way leads me to life. And I can't find that way. I can't stay in that way unless the Lord puts me in it and makes me walk in it. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now the straight and narrow way is Christ. The straight and narrow way is salvation in Christ alone. Lord, make me walk in that way where I can only trust Christ. I don't have another option. The root word here for is translated straight means an appointed way or covenant way. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's appointed way of salvation. There is salvation in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's God's appointed way. He's God's covenant way, where God promised he would save his people in Christ and Christ alone. The straight and narrow way also means a confined way. Salvation is confined. It's confined to Christ alone. Salvation is confined to faith in Christ alone. It's confined to grace in Christ alone. It's confined. It's Christ alone. The root word for narrow also means a rut, like a wheel rut in the dirt. And once you're down in that rut, you can't turn to the right or the left. You have to go the way that the rut is going. That's salvation. It's salvation in Christ alone, so that you cannot turn to the left or to the right. You can't look anywhere else. If you're in the straight and the narrow way, you're confined. You're restricted. You can't look any other way. You have no other hope other than Christ and Christ alone. You can't go off on a tangent because you're restricted to Christ and Christ alone. Now, I need God to put me there and keep me there, don't you? Now, I know that the Lord says here it's a narrow way. But I'm here to tell you there is plenty of room for sin. Don't think, oh, there's not room for me. God won't let me in. Don't blame your rebellion on God. There's plenty of room in this straight and narrow way. There's plenty of room for a sinner to enter into Christ, to enter into this straight and narrow way, to enter into eternal life, as long as you come naked, as long as you come empty, not bringing anything of your own. If you bring anything you've done with you, you've got baggage and you can't fit in and you will not enter. But if you come bringing nothing but Christ, bringing nothing that you've ever thought, said, or done, there's plenty of room for you. Now you come, you'll be saved. Enter into eternal life, bringing nothing of your own but Christ alone. The straight and narrow way tells us that salvation is exactly as wide as Christ and it's exactly as narrow as Christ. It's salvation is Christ alone. Now, Lord, help me. Put me in Christ, and make me follow him. Make me trust him alone. Make me follow Christ alone. Lord, give me feet that will not slip. Give me feet that will not stray, because you've established my feet on Christ alone. That's what I need. Look back at Psalm 40. David knew this is what he needed. He knew he needed his feet to be established on Christ, on the rock Christ Jesus. Psalm 40, verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He set my feet on Christ, and he established me on Christ. So I won't go anywhere else. So I'll follow Christ and Christ alone. But now listen, when we talk about this, Lord, make me go in this straight and narrow way. Make my feet follow Christ so I don't go anywhere else. But this is not just asking, Lord, make me follow Christ because you're forcing me to. No. What David's saying is here, Lord, make me happy. Make me happy to follow Christ. Make me happy to walk in the straight and the narrow way. He says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Make me to be delighted in Christ. Make me be delighted that salvation is all what Christ has done for me and in me, and nothing that I've done to contribute to it. Make me delighted that Christ is all of my holiness, that Christ is all of my sanctification. Make me delighted that Christ is all of my righteousness. Oh, make me delighted in Christ. If Lord, make me delighted in Christ, my feet will be established and I'll follow him on. And the only way that can happen is if the Lord establishes us in his word. All right, now here's the fourth thing. Lord, establish your word in our heart. Verse 36. Psalmist says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Now this is the most important point. It's the last one, but we've saved the best for last. It's the most important point. Lord, establish your word in our heart. If the Lord establishes his word in our heart, the word will automatically be established in our eyes, in our understanding, and in our feet. See, we need the word to be established in our heart. But we say, talk about the word being established in our heart. What we really mean is this. We need the Lord to give us a new heart. We need the Lord to give us a new nature that will want to be saved in Christ. We need the Lord to give us a new nature that will want Christ to get all of the glory in the redemption of his people, and that won't be covetous. Our natural heart's covetous. We want everything. I mean, we want everything we can imagine, and we want the glory. We want the recognition. We have a thirst for that, naturally. That's our natural heart. Well, then I need God to give me a new heart that won't be covetous, that won't want any glory and salvation for myself, but will want it all to go to Christ, because he did all the work for me. Now, we don't come that way by nature, do we? So we need God to give us a new heart. Then he talks about establishing my heart. He means give me a new heart. Lord, give me a new heart that's righteous. My old one's unrighteous. Give me a new one that's righteous. Or give me a new heart that's spiritually alive, because my old heart's spiritually dead. Or give me a new nature that loves your law, that sees how I've kept the law in Christ my representative, not in something that I have to do. Lord, make me righteous by faith in Christ. Justify me by faith in Christ, not by something that I do. And give me a heart that loves Christ, so I don't want any other hope. If I have Christ, if God establishes this in my heart, I have Christ, how can I be covetous? See, if you're covetous, you want something that you don't have. If I've got Christ, I don't want any other hope, because he's the best hope you could have. If I've got Christ, I don't want another righteousness. He's the best righteousness I could have. If I've got Christ, I'm not covetous of another salvation, of something I can do to add to that salvation, because he's my perfect salvation. If Christ is my delight, I'm not going to be covetous. I'm going to be content, because I find my delight in Christ. That he's my all. He's my righteousness. He's my salvation. He's my hope. He's my sanctification. He's my friend. The one that sticketh closer than a brother. They'll never leave you. If I have Christ, I'm content. Not covetous, because I have everything that I need. You see this? That all of the believer's help comes from God's word. This is something that we need God to do for us. And it all comes from his word. And the only way we can be established like this is if God establishes his word in our hearts. If he puts his word in our heart, we'll see. We'll understand. We'll believe Christ and we'll follow him. But God's got to do all of that work for us and in us, doesn't it? So this is our cry. Lord, establish your word. Establish it in my heart. Then it'll be established in my eyes, in my understanding, and in my feet. Now I know at this time we all feel like we need help. As I said to start this message, we feel an acute need for help at this time. And my advice to you is to seek help from God's word. Now, you're not going to find help in God's word that'll make all of your earthly troubles go away. Matter of fact, if you read God's word, you know what you're going to find out? God's word promises his people not a life of ease, but it promises us trouble and trial and tribulation, doesn't it? So I'm not telling you you're going to find help in God's Word that will make all your earthly troubles go away and give you a life of ease, because that would be a lie. The help that we need from God's Word is spiritual help. And that's what God's Word gives. It gives His people spiritual help. It gives them spiritual life. God's Word is the seed that gives us life, gives us spiritual life. But God's Word is also the grass, the green grass, the bread, the living bread that feeds the souls of God's people and strengthens the heart of God's people even in troubled times. It won't take the troubled times away, but it'll strengthen our heart in it. It'll strengthen our souls to go through it. God's Word gives help that comforts the broken heart, even though the sorrow's still there. The sorrow's still there, but God's Word comforts our heart by showing us Christ, by showing us something better than what we've lost. Now that's the help you and I need. And I have no idea what God's purpose is in sending this pandemic, but maybe one benefit of it is this. We'll all spend a little more time reading God's Word and seeking Him in it. Maybe that's a benefit that'll come from all this. And we'll be saved and we'll be established if while we're searching God's Word, if He's pleased to reveal Christ to us, we'll be saved. We'll find salvation for our souls and we'll be established. Established in the Word of God. Oh, may God establish His Word in your heart. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, oh, how we thank You for Your Word. Your Word that establishes Your people. Your Word that gives life to Your people, that feeds and comforts and edifies the hearts of Your people. Your Word that instructs us in the way that we should go, that instructs us to never take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and to keep looking to Him and trusting Him and Him alone. Father, how thankful we are for Your Word that establishes the feet of Your people so that we will not go away from Christ. We would. We know by nature we would leave Christ in a heartbeat if You'd let us. But how we're thankful You've established Your Word in the hearts of Your people. You've established our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus, so we cannot leave Him. Oh, how Christ is our delight. How delighted we are to find forgiveness of our sin in Him. How delighted we are to find righteousness, peace, life, and joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, establish Him in our heart. Establish Christ before our eyes, that we might find our hope, our joy, and our rest, and our peace in Christ alone. Father, all these blessings, we thank You for them, and we ask You continue to bless us for Christ's sake, for the glory of Your Word, for the glory of Your Son. Father, continue to bless Your people. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray and give thanks. Amen. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you.